Our next and last case is case number 11-1634, Branch versus the Cleveland Clinic Foundation. For the appellant, Mr. Leake.
Ms. Chief Justice, may it please the Court. My name is Doug Leake, and I'm here on behalf of the defendant appellant, the Cleveland Clinic Foundation, and I'd like to reserve 3 minutes for a rebuttal. On behalf of the Cleveland Clinic, we ask that you reverse the 8th District's decision that is legally and factually flawed. And we ask that you reinstate the unanimous defense verdict that is supported by the evidence and was well reasoned. The 8th District issued a result-oriented decision that not only mischaracterizes the record, but actually misquotes the records to reach its intended result. The decision is internally, factually, and legally inconsistent and has resulted in unsound and confusing legal precedent with respect to the proper use of demonstrative evidence at trial, the elements of an adverse inference of negligence claim, and the appropriateness of a jury charge regarding the different methods jury charge. This case should be reversed, and confidence in the jury system should be restored. With regard to our first proposition of law, the trial court properly allowed an in-court demonstration by Dr. Machado that was done in direct response to a new claim of missing data that was raised on the eve of trial and that became the prevalent theme of the Appellee's case.
That was demonstrative evidence, was it not?
That's exactly it.
What did it consist of?
The demonstrative evidence was in response to show, when they made a claim that there was missing data, that the fused image of the mapping plan was not preserved on a disk. They made a claim on the eve of trial that missing data, that was inappropriate, and that there was an adverse inference of negligence before it because of that. And we were compelled to respond to this new claim of missing data to show that that data existed at all times, still exists today, in the operative notes.
Was that data introduced into evidence?
No. And that's the problem with the 8th District Court of Appeals. It misinterpreted its own decision from 2004.
For mapping data showing the trajectory of the probe is or is not in evidence.
The data itself is in evidence in the operative note and the medical records. All the coordinates and note that data is in the medical records.
And then during the testimony, the physician demonstrated with a probe
what he did
and followed
was
those coordinates or
what he
tell
did
me
was,
what exactly he did.
What he exactly did was take that data into a computer software program, took the data, as he did when the surgery was performed, and showed the map and plan for the appellee. What is important about this case is that that was demonstrative evidence to respond to their claim that that data no longer existed.
But in the demonstrative evidence, was there an actual probe inserted?
Well, that was part of the demonstration.
In the demonstration?
Well, with the coordinates, the actual data taken from the operative notes to show that the target was the GPI, and that is what, you know, the data showed in the operative notes. But the key to this case is it was demonstrative evidence to show that the data existed, and today the data still exists. And in the Perry case, what I'd like to emphasize is that was a trial exhibit that was manipulated during trial. It was an ultrasound image that was manipulated. And at paragraphs 31 through 32 of the Perry decision, they go through in great detail of why that was prejudicial, because they added perpendicular calibers to an image to show the measurements of amniotic fluid that went to the defense of the case. This presentation did not go to the defense of the case of medical negligence.
Was this presentation done on a screen?
Yes, it was part of a computer animation to show to the jury.
Okay. And it was done projected on a screen?
Yes. I'm trying to remember logistically, yes, for the jury, how they saw it. So they were able to see it
Nothing went to the deliberating room.
Exactly. It did not go to the jury. What went to the jury were the medical records reflecting that the actual data is in the operative note, the coordinates. And that's the key about the in-court demonstration, is that it was done to respond to their claim that it wasn't preserved.
So basically, they claimed you had missing data, and you took the data that existed and plugged it into the computer model to show that all the data needed to perform the surgery was still there.
It existed.
That's what you're trying to say? And that's
yes.
What you were demonstrating to the jury in response to their claim that you were missing pieces.
Exactly. And the key to this is the reason for this presentation. This presentation did not exist pre-trial because there was never a claim of missing data in the complaint, none in the expert reports, none in the expert depositions, and by the appellee's own admission in their appellate brief at page 7, they say that the missing data really became the issue in this case.
And you did the defense make motions to exclude their claims of missing data?
What happened was, when they submitted their jury instructions on June 21st of 2010, there was no request for an adverse inference of negligence claim based upon the missing data. 3 days later, on June 24th, they submitted a supplemental jury instruction. That is the very first time that we had ever heard of any claim of missing data. This issue was then raised before opening statements, and even the trial court judge acknowledged on the record that that's a dangerous path to take.
So the proposed jury instructions were submitted before the trial?
It was before the trial and then addressed at the time of trial. 1 week before trial is the first time we had ever heard of this.
Counsel, I'm still not sure what the jury saw. We know it's on the screen. It's an animation. And so and I assume it's whatever was done at trial was not safe, so it's not in the record for us to see. What did the jurors see visually when this data that was in, you claim was in the records, was entered into the program?
Right. What we've been referring to as the target mapping plan is what they saw, where the holes and the probe and everything is done for the surgery and to get to the intended location of the GPI.
So there's an animation of a head?
Yes.
And a brain?
Yes.
And do you see a path that the probes followed? Is that visualized?
Yes. It's okay. The mapping.
Just trying to understand
exactly.
What it is.
And it was never marked as an exhibit, unlike the Perry case, which was a manipulated image prepared during trial that was actually submitted to the jury for the consideration of actual the allegations of medical negligence.
And on this demonstration, did it show the probes went in the place that the defense claimed they went?
Exactly. And the key to this is that we never had this demonstration prepared before trial because we did not need this to refute the claims of medical negligence. We had that their claim was that we hit the ventricle and the bleed started in the ventricle. We had plenty of evidence without this demonstration. We had the testimony of Dr. Walters, who assisted Dr. Machado, who heard the electrode readings that confirmed it was in the GPI. We had post-op films showing that this bleed originated in the basal ganglia and not in the ventricle, the hemorrhage extended. We did not need this demonstration to defend this case.
So, counsel, the intent by the allegation that this was a missing portion of evidence or information that was important to the jury was to show that the defendants were kind of hiding the ball here, and they didn't want the jury to see something, and they didn't want the plaintiff's counsel and the plaintiff to have an important piece of information. Isn't that the intent of what this whole thing was about?
That is their claim, but that takes me. I would like to take this court to paragraph 23 of this opinion, which goes exactly to that point, where the court stated that this recreation could only be performed on the Cleveland Clinic's 3D stealth program and was unavailable to the appellees. That is not true. And that is one of the misquotes that I need to address because Nowhere in 2,000 pages of this trial transcript did any witness or any evidence say that this can only be done on the Cleveland Clinic's software. In fact, Dr. Bakos, their expert, came in with his own software with a technician from the University of Rochester, inputted his own data. He could have taken the data from the operative note either before trial, during trial, and never did. Dr. Bakos had his own software. Ample evidence that this is commercially available for all DBS surgery. There was testimony that this was a Medtronic software. Brain Lab has one. Elekta has one. That statement at paragraph 23 is wrong, and it goes to your question hiding anything.
And I'm aware of the discrepancy on whether or not this could be reproduced by other software, you know, available to them, and apparently. But my point is that you were able to demonstrate where the coordinates were and where the actual surgery took place inside the skull of the plaintiff. And the jury must have, absorbed this information, and it did not reflect negatively upon the Cleveland Clinic, the allegation that you were hiding the ball, so to speak, because of the jury verdict and the short time with which they came back with that verdict.
Well, because this case was so defensible on the medicine. That demonstration was not to defend the medical negligence claim. We had so much evidence that this bleed originated in the basal ganglia and that the intended target was the GPI, and the bleed never occurred in the ventricle. That's why we got a defense verdict. This was done strictly to respond to the allegation of missing data. And I'd like to then take us to another misquote dealing with this issue of missed data with regard to our second proposition of law on the adverse inference of negligence. At paragraph 57, the 8th District quotes one sentence out of five sentences in the rebuttal closing argument of the Appellee's counsel and says that they were not allowed to talk about missing data. That is simply untrue. The first sentence says, isn't it a coincidence that the best evidence as to what happened is missing? That's where the 8th District stopped. The next four sentence by the Appellee's counsel, is it a coincidence? It's just like the BP oil disaster. Everybody is reading about it. After the explosion, objection sustained. Appellee's counsel continues. BP says BP again. And the trial court says, I sustained the objection. There is no analogy. There is no evidence of a suppression of any documents or destruction of documents. The 8th District decision is completely devoid of any reference to the BP oil disaster. That was the basis of our objection and the sustaining. This was 2010, while the BP oil disaster was in the media, in the print, on TV. The objection was sustained because there was a reference, an analogy to the BP oil disaster. There was no objection to that statement of missing. It was completely inappropriate for the 8th District to stop and not address the BP oil disaster. And to make matters worse, it completely...
I'm lost here on this BP oil disaster. What does that have to do with anything?
It has nothing to do with this case. And that's why the objection was sustained.
It would seem to me... a lawyer flapping his jaw about the BP oil disaster would be ignored by the jury as so much puffery. And why would the 10th or the 8th District need to even discuss that?
Because they raised it as an issue that they said that the court prevented them from discussing missing data. The objection was not to the missing data. It was to the analogy of the BP oil disaster. This occurred in 2010. The spring of 2010 was the BP oil disaster. This trial was in July of 2010.
We're talking about a brain surgery here.
They made an analogy to a highly publicized event that was raising issues of criminal conduct, cover-up. That's why the trial court sustained that objection. And then for them, then the 8th District misinterpreted its own decision in Chorosky versus St. Luke's to say that they did not have to prove intentional destruction to argue it. They don't assign as an error that they were denied the adverse inference of negligence jury charge because they were not entitled to it. The judge gave them leeway to make this argument. During closing arguments, twice they talk about missing documents. Once they talk about the documents are gone. Then they talk about, this was all throughout the case, and even the 8th District acknowledged that at paragraph 56, that they made a big deal about missing documents. They were allowed to argue that. And just like the Chorofsky case, they were not prejudiced. And lastly, on the different methods, they adopted verbatim the statement from and set forth improper law with the different methods in jury instruction and said that by giving them the jury instruction on different methods, it led a jury to believe that violating the standard of care that was established does not necessarily mean negligence.
I have one question before you sit down. So the medical records had been disclosed that your expert used for the demonstration. Did the plaintiff's expert use those same medical records for their demonstration, or did they do some their own supposition to show the ventricle wall had been penetrated?
That's exactly our point. They had the opportunity to use those coordinates that are in the operative note before trial, during trial, and chose not to. Also, their expert actually went to the Cleveland Clinic and actually listened to what Dr. Walters listened to about the cells that we confirmed was in the GPI. They had access to everything. And so with regard to your question, yes, the medical records contain those coordinates, the data that is not missing. Dr. Machado had every right to demonstrate to this query and refute their new claim that became their issue in the case that the data was not missing.
And that information would never have been presented had not that issue been raised by the defense.
We would not have done that demonstration because we did not need that demonstration to defend this case on the medical negligence. We came up with that demonstration and put them on notice during opening statements that we will address this issue of missing data. We will show you it's not missing.
And in fact, that was the issue, right? The penetration of the ventricle wall, because the defendant had claimed we never did that. We never pierced the ventricle wall. Plaintiff's claim was that that was what caused the bleed.
Exactly.
And the demonstration didn't change that.
We didn't need that. We had ample evidence that the bleed occurred in the basal ganglia, and the intended target of the GPI was met based upon Dr. Walters listening to the cells and what they got. We didn't need that. We didn't need it until they brought it up at trial for the very first time. So we ask that you reverse the 8th District's decision and reinstate this unanimous defense verdict that was supported by the evidence. Thank you.
Mr. Flowers.
Good morning, Madam Chief Justice, members of the court. My name is Paul Flowers. I represent the plaintiff appellee here, Margaret Branch.
Welcome back, Mr. Flowers.
Thank you again, Your Honor.
I assume you were not the trial counsel, correct? You were appellate.
Mr. Becker was.
When I was trying to find this and I couldn't, when, except for their claims, do you have any evidence that the allegation of missing data was raised before that 1 week before trial when the jury instructions came out?
Yeah, it was raised in Dr. Machado's deposition, which was January of 2010.
And what did he say?
He didn't say that. He said he didn't have it and he wasn't sure. Discovery then follows. It's never produced. Eve trial is a week before trial when jury instructions come out, which is per rule. There's a missing inference charge in there. They knew at that point that this was going to be an issue. We get opening statements, and according to the brief, they kind of cryptically told Mr. Becker about this demonstration. It's vague, but they must have known at that point. And it's not till 12 days later, 10 minutes before Dr. Machado takes the stand, that it's announced that, hey, by the way, we've got this recreation we're going to show. You can cross-examine them after you've looked at it the same time the jury looks at it.
And so the trial court allowed the plaintiffs to talk about the missing data and the fact, and allowed the expert to talk about the missing data, correct?
Well, this is where we need to draw a distinction here, right? Because they're playing fast and loose with terms. The data was not missing. There is data in the operative notes, the coordinates and so forth. That's there. We did get that. That's part of the record. They're right about that. What he's not talking about that is missing, always was missing, is the fused image. That's where, using the stealth software, they took the CT scan, slices of the CT scan, the MRI. It's really a...
They were trying to demonstrate that the fused image was not necessary because when you use the coordinates, you come up with the same result.
He's trying to say that now. The fused image is essential to the process.
But the plaintiff's counsel was arguing that that fused image was missing and that was important.
Yes.
So then I have a this is where I have my biggest problem is the Court of Appeals in almost their final paragraph says, hence the fused image and target data planning was missing. So they talk about the data, the target planning data, which was actually in the operative notes, as I understand it, so that's wrong, was entitled to argue the adverse inference to the jury. The jury was not required to accept the inference. Dr. Mercado testified the fused image and target data are only kept in rare instances, but Branch was still entitled to argue it. By prohibiting counsel from discussing the data and missing image and data, the trial court unjustly deprived Branch of the benefits of an inference. So it seems to me that if this is a core thing in the case, then and you're arguing that data is core, they're entitled to show that you can reach the same result or get the same image or get the same with a demonstration based on data that was actually already in evidence. So your argument seems to be contrary to what the Court of Appeals is even finding.
Oh, no. Excuse me. I agree with that last part of it. They do have a right to show that missing evidence can be recreated. You just can't disclose it 10 minutes before the witness who's going to establish it takes the stand. The Court of Appeals isn't wrong because that disc did have data on it. There's the fused image gone. For him to say we have access to everything is untrue. That's gone.
Did they save it and then erase it?
He tossed it. There's no evidence. I can't stand here and say he erased it. And there was evidence that they don't always save it.
Was it contained in the medical record and preserved and then several days later erased?
No. It was on a disc. The disc was tossed.
And your doc, your own expert says they rarely keep it.
He says he keeps it. He says he keeps them. Dr. Machado says he rarely keeps them. But the thing here was we had a woman who stroked on the operating table. Dr. Machado testifies, I was devastated. This had never happened to me before. Now, he's only been attending for a year, but he says, this is devastating. And the point is, why would you toss this disc that's got this fused image on it that you need to prove that you followed the right track?
Well, why would you? What is the theory?
Well, you know, doctors, we're told, are practicing defensive medicine. He should have known he's operating on a lawyer. He should have known that, hey, I'm going to want to be able to show I did the right thing. This is important evidence to say.
So there's a higher standard of care when your patient's a lawyer? Is that what you're saying?
There ought to be.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? But no, I can't say that with a straight face.
Well, you know what? Then why didn't he just adjust the coordinates? Or you know, clearly there was a trail that allowed for a recreation of that image.
We don't know that. Dr. Starr, their own expert, says no, you cannot recreate it completely. Dr. Starr is off the stand back in California when they come up and say, hey, you know what? We recreated this fused image. We've got it now. He said we couldn't do it. He's gone. Here it is. That's the problem.
So the jury, but the jury had his statement that you couldn't, so they could weigh the credibility of the recreated image and decide if it was accurate.
Yeah, well, you know, he says you couldn't. They show it to him, the jury. Here it is. We did it. There's no effective cross-examination. We can't be sure that he used the same software. We can't be sure that those are really Margaret's images. We can't be sure that he fused them properly. None of this can be explored.
So you didn't know whether the coordinates that were part of the demonstration were the same coordinates that you're looking at in the medical record before you?
The coordinates in the medical record, nobody's disputing that that's accurate. All right, nobody's saying they fudged the chart. It's the fused image that was gone. Somehow, with this software, they've recreated it 3 years later. And it's Dr. Machado, it's explained. I mean, he goes step by step what he's showing the jury. And he says, this is what happened 3 years ago. This is her brain. These are her films.
But that's only demonstrative evidence. They're not offering that as what happened. They're just saying, this is how it was done, and
right.
This is the process, and this is what we did.
And they
as
are
a
saying.
It's a demonstration so that finders of fact would have some basis to understand what the evidence was.
It goes beyond that. Dr. Machado, and this is a quote, says, look, I missed it by a lot. He shows the probe's eye view, and that's what this is, probe's eye view. You're going down the tunnel. The neurosurgeons use this before the procedure. They go through it, and they can see if there's a vessel or the ventricle nearby that they're going to hit, and they can plan it out, and it's a safety check. The jury watched this. They watched this go down. He's able to say, and this is in the record, look, I'm missing the ventricle. I missed it by a lot. For counsel to stand here and say, this had nothing to do with the merits of the case, we had other evidence, that's just not true.
But there's sufficient other evidence that is was put before the jury, actual, you know, expert testimony, et cetera, that the jury took into consideration. If this was the only piece of evidence that was presented to the jury, well, then maybe, you know, well, you'd be in a much better position, I think. But this supplemented or complemented or all this was only a piece of demonstrative evidence. They had the actual medical evidence and the record and experts to testify in addition to.
Well, and that's the argument that the dissent put forth that I found mystifying, this idea that, oh, you might have prejudicial evidence, but there were other ways the jury could reach the same result, so it's not prejudicial. And we don't know that the jury set aside this demonstration that was the last thing they saw before they deliberated, set that completely aside, and relied on this other testimony that's not being challenged.
But
we
how
don't
is the,
know that.
How is the evidence prejudicial? The plaintiff's argument was always that he had pierced the ventricle wall. How is their defense that, no, we never did, and demonstrating that prejudicial? It's just evidence of the defense.
No, that's if you buy into this theory. If you look at the transcript, Dr. Machado is walking them through saying, this is what happened. Look, I missed it by a lot. And what they're seeing on this big screen is this probe going through Margaret Branch's brain, not...
But they saw your clients, they saw the same demonstration supportive of your client's theory of the case, I assume on a big screen, from your experts saying this is what happened as a demonstrable exhibit.
No, they saw a sample patient. It wasn't Margaret Branch. And the juries were told that this is not Margaret
Branch. But couldn't it have been? Was there any attempt by the defendant to keep the medical record showing the coordinates away from the plaintiff?
Well, when the probe's eye view was shown in the plaintiff's case in chief, and it's described as an animation, it's not her, and the probe misses the ventricle. Dr. Bakos was saying, this is just how a probe's eye view works. And he's very clear to say it's not her because it misses the ventricle. That was the only point of that 2D animation that, by the way, was disclosed per the judge's order at the beginning of the trial. And before that animation starts, he interrupts the trial and makes sure the defense counsel has seen that animation. And she agrees she has. No such courtesy is offered to the plaintiff here. That's why this is unfair. This case isn't about demonstrative evidence versus regular evidence. This is about disclosure and fairness and a judge who is not applying the same rules to the same parties.
And that's kind of their argument, too. It's about disclosure and fairness and surprise on the plaintiff's part saying we're going to argue missing evidence.
Right. You know, this eve of trial, a new argument that by their own admission is disclosed at least a week before the trial starts. And remember, we've got this opening statement that the dissent says should have warned everyone that this image had been refused. They say in their opening statements, here's your warning. They knew about it. They knew what they were going to do. And it's 12 days later, after Dr. Starr, who says you can't do this, is back in California, 10 minutes before Dr. Machado takes the stand, then we get the announcement, hey, we've got a new refused image here, you know. And you've got software available to you. You could have done this. And that's all Dr. Machado's testimony, which can't be questioned because there's no disclosure what he's about to do.
And what motion for continuance was made?
Well, there was a discussion of that. Actually, the defense counsel says, if you want to take a break, we could take a break. And the judge says, no, we're moving on. That's in this whole exchange. And this exchange about this demonstration is pages long. So to stand up here and say, oh, you know, it wasn't a big deal, we had other evidence, you know, that makes no sense because they fought tooth and nail to get this demonstration in. And that's the prejudice. It didn't just show, in theory, how the procedure worked. The culminating conclusion of that demonstration was, I missed it by a lot. You are watching what happened. You are seeing yourself going down the probe. You can see that ventricle slide by safely.
An instruction that this wasn't the actual. This was a demonstrative of. Isn't that right?
No, what happened was the judge in chambers, after he says he's going to let it in, says, I'm going to tell the jury it's a recreation. And Mr. Becker gets him to say, at least it's an attempted recreation. So he doesn't say it's not Margaret, because he can't. That's the claim. It is Margaret. It's her refused image. Right? That's the difference from what the plaintiff showed, which was just a sample plaintiff, and the probe's eye misses the ventricle.
Was the jury thinking this was actually what the doctor had done at the time of the surgery?
Oh, they had to have. I mean, that was, you look at Dr. Machado's testimony as he's going through this, he's making it very clear that that is what happened. In their opening statement, so this is 12 days before the announcement, Dr. Machado will tell you in this particular case, he did not go through the ventricle, and he will reconstruct it for you and show you exactly, based on how this is how all this, it didn't go through the ventricle. Now, there's no disclosure that, voila, the fused image is back. We've got this new fused image, and we can show this all again as it happened 3 years ago. That's not disclosed in here.
Was there a special jury instruction on demonstrative evidence?
I would suspect so. It's pretty
routine
in Cuyahoga County.
Because that specifically tells the jury it's solely for illustration only. This isn't proof of what actually happened. So the jury did get the instruction from the judge about how to evaluate demonstrative evidence.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's that specific. The problem here is that they were told by Dr. Machado, by defense counsel, this is what happened. This is Margaret Branch's brain. You are watching the surgeries that happened 3 years ago, and you are watching the cannula pass safely by the ventricle.
They're actually saying that. The doctor is saying, this is the probe that I used at the time. This is Margaret's brain.
I missed it by a lot. That's his word.
Is this a CT scan or an MRI of the brain?
Yeah, those are what you fuse together for the fused image, slices of them. It has to be done right. That would have been fertile grounds for cross-examination. In order for it to be the same as it was 3 years ago, and this is what the 8th District is saying, you have to use the same stealth software. I mean, in order to be ensure that this is what Dr. Machado saw when he was planning for the surgery, everything has to be exactly the same. This is a recreation. It's more than just demonstrative.
So let me ask you, if during the actual surgery, who's looking at this fused image and simultaneously with the procedure?
It's before the surgery. So the computer generates the fused image, and the neurosurgeon can sit there and watch it and make sure that he's going to miss all the arteries, ventricles, and so forth. Dr. Bakos explains that in his direct examination. But
okay, so this isn't like a roadmap that he's looking at while he's manipulating the probe during surgery.
He looks at it first while he's making sure he's planned a safe trajectory.
Okay, so then he just goes ahead with the trajectory internally.
Right. In this trial, it would have been fascinating to look at that same fused image, exactly what Dr. Machado looked at, and see what he saw before he started on started this procedure. You know, that would have been great,
but
it wasn't
there.
That's
what I'm trying to get. What would this have shown? You know, you're, in many ways, maybe you're advantaged by the fact that the actual one's not here.
You know, that's always the case with missing evidence, you know. I mean,
well,
who knows?
You know, you're speculating that this would have shown that the trajectory was going to go right through the ventricle wall. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you then have to take that further and say, so, of course, the doctor's going to take that trajectory because he wants to go right through the ventricle wall.
I think the argument would have been if it showed it going through the ventricle wall, he should have recalculated his
well,
trajectory.
Well, one would think that if it did show that, you know, that of course the doctor would have, because now you're saying that it must have shown wanting to, or that it was going to, the trajectory was right through the ventricle wall, and of course the doctor wasn't going to adjust his trajectory because who doesn't want to hit a ventricle wall?
I think what I'm saying, just the first part of your question, if I understand it correctly, all we're saying is that, you know, with missing evidence, it's just odd that if it really supported him, that he wouldn't have saved it knowing his patient had just stroked on the table. That's just odd, but that's for a jury to draw the inference if they want to. Really what this case is about is just the fact they didn't disclose their recreation. Yes, that is their right. If they can recreate it, they can certainly put that in for the jury, but not 10 minutes before the witness is going to take the stand and after the witness who says you can't do that has left and is back in California. That's what's just so unfair here. And we're not saying you should enter judgment for Margaret Branch. We're just saying she should get a fair trial, you know, one where everybody puts their cards on the table, all the evidence is brought forward, and the jury can make not a hasty decision based on, you know, a last-minute demonstration that can't be challenged, but an informed decision, you know, and then we'll know, you know, how this case should be resolved.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Lee, you've used all your time, but you can have a minute.
Can I ask you one question? Just one question, because I'm going to play Justice O'Donnell and say, what's the rule of law where you would like us to write? Because all the questions we've asked up here have been very fact-specific, very much tied to this case. Exactly. What is the rule of law you want us to write for the entire state?
I believe that demonstrative evidence and actual evidence admitted into evidence should be treated differently, and that there should be guidance by this court that there is a distinction between those two, and that's why the Perry case was misapplied, and that there are trial tactics. New claims like missing data allows a defense plaintiff to adjust their defense to respond, and that's what we did. And in response to your questions, and that's what I'll address here, is when was this raised? It was admitted during discovery that...
Excuse me. The answer you just gave to Justice Brown's question, I don't understand it. What she asked you, what should we write? What would our holding be? And you just... said the two are different.
They are different and should be treated differently.
That's what we write? The two are different?
Yes, and that and this is an example of a case in which demonstrative evidence is flexible during trial, whereas evidence that is admitted into the jury room for deliberations are supposed to be fully...
Demonstrative evidence is different and it's flexible during trial.
Exactly.
What is that going to inform any trial lawyer?
Is that if you have trial exhibits like the Perry case, that you cannot manipulate those trial exhibits during trial and then expect them to be admitted into evidence. Whereas demonstrative evidence, if there is a claim that becomes new, becomes the theme of a case, that you, during trial strategy, like the day before someone's testifying, come up with a drawing or some kind of demonstration to respond to those allegations.
Are you saying there's a distinction? That demonstrative evidence is not substantive evidence, but is merely used to illustrate a principle?
Exactly. Right. And that's what we did here, was to demonstrate and respond to the missing data, that claim, we admitted during discovery that the fused image was not preserved. It was not placed on a disc and tossed away. It was never preserved in the first place. Dr. Machado testified he only preserves them for lectures and speech. This is not a spoliation of evidence. That fused image never existed. It wasn't preserved.
I agree that there's no spoliation claim presented here, but the question that Mr. Flowers raises in his position, his argument to us is, this was discussed in opening statement 12 days before it was actually presented in the courtroom.
What was not discussed was this particular demonstration. What was discussed because of this new claim was there was arguments before opening statements. There were arguments by the trial court who conducted extensive oral hearings in this case about the missing data. The response by us in opening statements was, in their response to open statements of missing data, is there is not missing data. We can show you there is not missing data. We will reconstruct that. At that time, we did not know in what way we were going to respond to this new claim. It was that new. It was June 24th, the first time ever.
In the opening statements, you said that you could reconstruct or you would reconstruct.
We were going to show the existence of this data in the medical records. It's not missing.
And that's what you told the jury in your opening statement.
Exactly. We did not, like I said, and with regard to Dr. Starr, he wasn't able to testify about a recreation because we didn't use him to do that because he was defending medical negligence. That would have been a surprise had we had an expert come in with a demonstration.
All right, but thank you.
But that's the difference, is that this was in response to the new claim raised on the right on the eve of trial, and by their own admission became the issue of this case because it was so defensible from the medicine. And we ask that you reinstate that unanimous defense verdict supported by the evidence. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the matter under advisement, and you'll be notified of our decisions. Marshal, will you please adjourn court?
All rise. Hear ye, hear ye, hear ye. This open session of the Honorable Supreme Court of Ohio now stands adjourned.